Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 weeks ago, God laid this on my heart for the teens. It's been on my mind, I would say this week, last week. And almost every day since two Wednesdays ago and way before that. I work for Verizon Wireless. Some of you don't know that, and if you need a discount, come see me. But there's a couple things I've learned in my position is that there's people motivated by different reasons. So why do you come to work, you ask, and they go, well, because of this. And I was reading my Bible the other day, and I was sitting here, I was thinking about what's my reason that I serve Christ? What's my why? What's the reason I come and teach the teens or try to teach my girls to do right or read my Bible? And God put this on my heart, and I will share this with you today. And Lord willing, it'll be Him speaking and not me. So we'll begin reading in chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. And it said, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may be free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you. Ye both do and will do the things which we've commanded you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received for us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither do we eat any man's bread for naught, for wrought with labor and travail night and day, and we might not be dischargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when ye were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such as command and exhort our Lord Jesus, that which quietness they work and eat their bread. But verse 13 says this, and this is what stuck out to me. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help me, God. Just not feeling well today, Lord. And I just pray that you'll be with Joel, because I know Brother Joel was feeling kind of sick this morning. Father, we're grateful that you died on the cross for our sins. We're grateful that you put us in a place, Lord, we could serve you and read your word and talk about the Bible, raise our kids in the Christian nation, Lord, that there's still people who want to serve you. Father, I pray, Lord, that it'll be of you, not of me. Thank you, God, so much for your love and your grace. Guide us in all we do, Lord. Be with Pastor, Lord, his family. Lord, I pray that you'll just help them, Lord, and comfort them and help Mr. Rob, Lord, get better, Lord. And Lord, just be with them, Lord. Be with those tonight that are home, those that aren't feeling well. Be with those that are going through things, Lord, that they haven't talked to anybody about, that need help and searching for an answer, Lord, and you're that answer. Pray, Father, tonight that it be of you, not of myself. As for in Christ's name, amen. I want to share with you a story that really touched my heart, and I read the story, and I never used to cry at stories. I would watch Braveheart, and I loved it because, you know, they killed each other. And I would watch Gladiator, and I made Bev watch The Last Samurai, and I fell asleep while she was panicking the whole night. That's the kind of stuff I used to watch, but then I had my first little girl. And I remember holding Wanda in my hand, and I'm like, Lord, you gave me a kid. So I read this story the other night because I was like, Lord, I need an illustration, maybe something that you could hit home with me, and I'm going to read the story to you. And this story is based on a true story. And I want you to think of it like I thought of it because it really touched me. There's a pediatrician by the name of David. He shares a story how a dying girl showed his church the honor of serving God. One Sunday, my wife had prepared a lesson on being useful. She taught the children that everyone can be useful, that usefulness is serving God. and that doing so is worthy of his honor. The kids soaked it up, and his wife continued. And as the lesson ended, there was a short moment of silence, and a little girl named Sarah spoke up. She said, "Teacher, what can I do? I don't know how to do many useful things." Not anticipating the kind of response, his wife quickly looked around and spotted an empty flower vase on the windowsill. She said, "Sarah, you can bring in a flower and put it in the vase. That would be a useful thing." Sarah frowned and said, "But that's not important." "It is," replied his wife. He says, "You're helping somebody." Sure enough, the next Sunday, Sarah brought in a dandelion, placed it in a vase. In fact, she continued to do so each week without reminders or help. She made sure the vase was filled with bright yellow flowers Sunday after Sunday. When his wife told the pastor about Sarah's faithfulness, he placed the vase upstairs in the sanctuary next to the pulpit. That Sunday, he gave a sermon on the honor of serving others, using Sarah's vase as an example. The congregation was touched by the message, and the week started on a good note. During that same week, the doctor, the pediatrician, got a call from Sarah's mother. She worried that Sarah seemed to have less energy than usual, and that she didn't have an appetite. Offering her some reassurance, he made room in the schedule to see Sarah that following day. After Sarah had batteries of tests and days of examination, the doctor said in his office, "Numb." The paperwork came back. She had leukemia. On the way home, the doctor stopped to see Sarah's parents so that he could tell her personally and give him the sad news. Sarah's genetics and leukemia and the leukemia that was attacking her small body was a horrible mix. Sitting at the kitchen table, he did his best to explain to Sarah's parents that nothing could be done to save her life. "I don't think I've ever had a more difficult conversation, the doctor said, than the one I had that night. Time pressed on. Sarah became confined to bed and to visits that many people gave her. She lost her smile. She lost most of her weight. Then it came another telephone call. Sarah's mother asked him to come see her. He dropped everything he was doing, ran into the house. There she was, a small bundle that barely moved. After a short examination, he knew that Sarah would soon be leaving the world. He urged her parents to spend as much time as possible with her. That was a Friday afternoon. On Sunday morning, church started as usual. The singing, the sermon, it all seemed meaningless, the doctor said. He said, "All I could do was think about Sarah. I felt enveloped in sadness. And at the end of the sermon, the pastor suddenly stopped speaking. His eyes wide, he stared at the back of the church with utter amazement. Everyone turned to see what he was looking at, and it was Sarah. Her parents had brought her for her last visit to church. She was bundled in a blanket, she had a dandelion in her hand. She didn't sit in the back row. Instead, she slowly walked to the front of the church where her vase was still perched by the pulpit. She put her flower in the vase and a piece of paper beside it. Then she returned to her parents. Seeing little Sarah place her flower in a vase for the last time moved everyone. At the end of the service, people gathered around Sarah and her parents trying to offer some much needed love and support. He said he could barely watch. 4 days later, Sarah died. He said, "I wasn't expecting it, but our pastor asked to see me after the funeral. We stood at the cemetery near our cars as people walked past us. In a low voice, he said, 'Dave,' he says, 'I got something you ought to see.' He pulled out his pocket and out was a piece of paper that Sarah left by the vase. Holding it out, he said, 'You better keep this. It may help you in your line of work.' He opened the folded paper to read it, and a pink crayon. What Sarah had written said, 'Dear God, this vase has been the biggest honor of my life.' Sarah's note and her vase has helped him understand how he realizes in a new way that life is an opportunity to serve God. I use that example, that little Sarah in her condition. In her condition, and we get sick and we don't come to church. And I thought about that example while I was at home and I was reading this and I started crying because I couldn't imagine. I can't put it into perspective to see my little girl get sick like that and still serve God. And it made me think, be not weary in well-doing. She was weird. She was sick. And her last act, she wrote in a note that, Lord, he says, I have served you the best I could. And that was the dandelion in the vase. My question to you, and I want to put this in the smallest terms, is what's your reason why? Why do you come to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you spend time in prayer? Why do you come here and listen to Pastor Brian preach? Why do you help the people around church? Why do you love? Hey, there's a reason why you do things. What is it? What's your reason why? I was telling the teenagers, hey, you're going to come up soon and you're going to graduate, and you better know your reason why, because you need to stand on that. And when I look at my reason why, it's this. He died on the cross for my sins. For my sins. What he gave me was the greatest gift I ever seen in my life. And every day I go to work, everything I watch, everything I see, everything I do, I need to know my reason why, because there's going to be people who's going to push you and is going to tell you, no, you shouldn't do that, or do this, or don't go there, or don't go to church, spend time with me. You need to stand up for your reason why, because it's going to come to a point in time where you're going to be weary. And the question is, are you going to come back where you were? Because if you look at the story of Sarah, she came back. She came back. In her worst conditions, 4 days before dying, she came back to church and she wrote in that piece of crayon, hey, I'm doing this for you, Lord. I want to honor you. My greatest honor, she said. Hey, be ye not weary in well-doing. Ask yourself that. What's your reason why? I got to motivate 20 kids and they're all like the age of 25. I'm only 5 years older and I'm sitting there like I'm in kindergarten drawing stuff with paper, trying to get them to get motivated to come to work. And my question to them is, why do you come to work? What's your motivation? What's your reason why? I come to work because the Bible says in everything you do, do with all thy might. Be the best you can for God. Hey, if you're going to serve God, do it right. Be the best you can for him. Hey, the idea behind this, and I want to share with you quickly, because I'm telling you, I'm not feeling well, but quickly, the idea that I was trying to share with the teens, and I want to hit home is, and this is what I'm struggling with, is if I don't find my reason why, and I don't hold on to that, every day that something comes by me, every day that you wake up and you're fighting the flesh, that reason why slips. You better bring out your crayons, write it on a piece of paper, and open it up, and ask yourself this, am I serving God for the right reason? Because we all have lip service. We all just come because you want to make somebody happy or excited, but your reason why is important. Serving God is important. See, the Bible says here, if you turn your Bibles to Colossians 3:17, doing well, I'm going to tell you right now, takes work. Doing well, doing your best takes work. Hey, if you want to play football, and if you want to lift weights, you better up your weight. You better get strong, because doing well takes work. Brother Joel said it this morning. You got to be fit, because there's going to be things that are going to hit you. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving him thanks to God and the earthly father and the Father by him. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it to the glory of God. What's your reason why? Hey, if you're struggling with something, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody in this room is struggling with something, because we're not perfect. But let me ask you a question. Do you believe? Do you believe like I believe? If you believe that God died on the cross for your sins and he gave you hope beyond the grave, which I hope we all believe that, then why not believe that he could take our sin away? Why not believe that we could serve God to the best that we can and do it well? Even when we're tired, even when we're sick, even when we feel like life is beating down on us. Why don't we believe that? Why get pressured, or why get sucked into this hole that's called flesh and sin? We could believe the greatest miracle that he did is when he came down from heaven and died for us. But yet we don't believe that Jesus Christ in all his glory could help us through our problems. Why? Why? Man, my reason why every day and I get up and I think about it and I look at my Bible, my reason why is Jesus Christ. Once I lose that reason, it's over. I failed. Hey, your reason why is important. And I was telling the youth, it's your reason why, because you're going to be put in a position every day of your life after you leave home, or even if you're at home still with your parents, it's okay. At the age of 30, I wish I was still at home. I wouldn't be paying bills. Your reason why you serve Christ, your reason why you read your Bible, your reason why you pray is very important. It's very important. Thought about Sarah, and that story's true. And it broke my heart because I'm like, Lord, man, I couldn't imagine. And yet we get asked to do something and we go home and we complain about it. We get asked to pray for somebody and it's a forethought. Oh, forgot. Hey, we get asked to pick somebody up and like, oh man, it's out of my way. We get asked to help in church. And it's just, you know, it's becoming the idea that I don't want to. So if you don't want to, then why come here and sit and not do work? Serving God, man, is his work. You don't just serve by sitting there. You serve by praying for others. See, you don't have to do something physically. The idea behind this, you don't have to do something that takes a lot of your time. Why don't you just pray for somebody? Why not read your Bible and send a text message to somebody and say, hey, man, I thought about you. 2 seconds. I'm still young in Christ, but I know that's helped me through college. When I was just saved in Christian college, that's helped me through marriage, you know. 8 years of being married to my wife, the first year was horrible for her, not for me. For her, because I was like, man, I'm blessed. But she got to see me at my worst. Hey, find your reason why, especially the way America's going. Why do we do the things we do? You know why I spend time in my Bible and I spend time in prayer and I try to do my best. Lord knows I try to do my best for the teenagers because I love my Savior. And that's not changing for no one. No one. I love reading the Bible. I love going from the beginning to the end and opening it and knowing that my God, and in all his glory, he took time enough to tell me why. He wrote it for me. He wrote it in every page. There's a story here for everyone. From the beginning to the end. You don't think you're worthy. I don't think Sarah thought she wasn't worthy. She said, Lord, I did it for you. This is my greatest honor. Hey, the Bible says here, and I want to share this with you guys in Galatians. No, hold on. When there's work, there's always a reward. So I sit in these Friday morning meetings every Friday. I feel like I'm speaking to the wall and the carpet. The carpet is clean because I'm spitting all over the place. And I'm looking at these people and I'm like, you know what? When you work hard, you get rewarded. Serving God's rewarding. You might not see it on earth, buddy. There's a song that I was listening to the other day, and I like music, and there was a song about this one guy. He says, I dreamed I went to heaven. He says, you were there with me. He says, I walked upon the streets of gold. He says, thank you for giving to the Lord. I was the life that was saved. You have no idea who you've impacted. Hey, like Joel said this morning, you have no idea. He had no idea that one person was going to lead 5,000 to Christ. You have no idea that one time you took a track out, that one time you said, hey, I'm thinking about you, impacted somebody. Because we don't have that. We don't have that force, and we can't tell the future. But there's going to be a time when we do die and we do go to heaven. And we're going to sit there and people are going to be like, hey, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in heaven. I could just read it and know for this, but I hope this happens. Hey, you remember that one time? You went back to the car and your wife handed me a track at the Wendy's window. You think that's stupid, but she does. That one time I read it. God saved me. I understood. Hey, or that one time your testimony was so great. And Brother Joe was telling me, and I thought it was amazing. Man, the way you live is so great. Not that you're perfect, but you love the Lord and people see it. That you can be different. That it's not hard to be separated, to be a Christian. That there's still people in this world that we know it's poisoned. We know there's things coming down the pike that still live for Christ and you can see it. We never know. We won't know. But you're rewarded when you die and go to heaven because you'll see it and you'll have to sit there before God and God's going to say, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant. Or you're going to have to go through the other stuff. You remember that one time you passed by a guy and I put it on your heart to tell him about Jesus and you just walked the other way? Why? What, was that not important? There's always two sides to the coin. There's always two sides to serving God. You're either going to do it or you're not. That's why it's so important. And I keep being repetitive because it's so important to know why you do what you do for Christ. Why? There's a reward. The Bible says here in Colossians 3:17. Did I read this? No, I did read that. Next one. Jeremiah 29:13 says, And ye shall seek me and find me. And when ye shall search for me with your hearts. 2 Chronicles 15:17 says, be ye strong therefore. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Galatians 6:9, and I'll read the whole chapter of chapter 6 of Galatians, says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou shalt be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be ye not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap the Spirit, reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall all reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. I want to challenge you guys. I've been, and I read this every day, and I've been reading this verse every day in 2 Thessalonians, where it says, and I'll read it to you again, verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. It's going to get hard. I don't know, maybe some of you are going through things now. It's going to get to the point where you feel like church is now another place to take time away from your time of rest. Or it's going to become a place where you feel like you're not growing. Let me tell you something. Church hasn't changed. It's you. If you feel like you're not growing, you feel like God's not speaking to you, you need to, the Bible says, to examine yourself. There's sin in the camp. Hey, he's given a story from the beginning of time. If you're not growing in church, your message hasn't changed. You've changed. You put things between you and God. You're the one going through the problem. Yet the problem with us is every time we go through something hard, we're prideful and we never want to ask for help. We never want to ask for help. Don't let pride destroy your communication with God. Don't let pride keep you away from God showing you something great or using you to do something to impact somebody's life, no matter how little you think it is. Hey, nothing's changed. The word of God is being preached here. The people are the same. I'm still the only black person in church. Hey, it's okay. Nothing's changed. The first time I told my wife, I said, church changed. She looked at me. She's like, no, it hasn't. I'm like, dang. It's me. Consider your why. Consider why you want to serve God. And it's going to be weary. You're going to go through a lot. Some of you have already been through a lot. But let God use that like God used Sarah. Can you imagine a little girl walking down the aisle her last couple days? She could have done everything else. She could have spent time with her mom and dad. I wasn't there. I wish I was a fly on the wall. Like, mommy, I want to go to church. She walks down the aisle, cancer and all, hurting. Puts a flower in a vase because she thought that was her doing her best for Christ. It's time to get your reason why and hold on to that. And when you do get weary, when you do feel like you can't, don't worry, it's not you, it's God. He can. He can pick you up. He can get you through the hard times.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.